You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Everybody, welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and with me, as your co-host, as always, Zach Batista. Zach, how are you doing, my man?
I am doing fantastic right now. I had a nice day of work, I worked out, I'm all showered, and I'm ready to talk about some wrestling that I watched.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Long day at work for me, but I'm excited to be recording. I watched these matches, and as soon as I finished watching these matches, I was like, boy, howdy, I cannot wait for this recording. I need to tell somebody about how cool these matches were.
Well, how wild
these matches were. Which is a very big coincidence because I think I am going first this week, yes?
You are going first this week.
Awesome. So, you know what? Zach, I think let's just get right into it, buddy. Let's go right into it. First match we got on the card, I watched a match from Beyond Wrestling Uncharted Territory. We got Solo Darling versus JXT. Zach, as you know, Solo Darling is one half of the Bird and the Bee with Willow Nightingale. We watched them over at the Collective during Shimmer.
Mm-hmm.
This was a singles match with her and a competitor named JXT. I didn't really get much information on them. Like, I tried looking them up. I didn't really get much. Let me do a quick double check here on JXT.
Of course.
Okay, so JXT is from Australia.
I love Australian independent wrestling.
Yeah. He has wrestled in a lot of promotions on this list.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. He's got Snake Pit Pro Wrestling, which is one of my favorites. New Age Wrestling, Outback Championship Wrestling, Platinum Wrestling, Enterprise, blah, blah. He's got a whole list, all right?
Damn, all right.
So this is an intergender match between him and Solo Darling, who is another amazing, amazing competitor who I love watching. So my favorite part about this match is the entrances, because Solo Darling, they're both in the ring at this point, and as the announcer is introducing them, Solo Darling comes up. And the announcer introduces announces, accompanied to the ring by Officer Magnum. Officer Magnum, by the way, is Solo Darling's little dog.
He is the cutest fucking thing ever. We saw him when we were waiting in line for Shimmer, I think it was.
Yeah, we were waiting in line for Bloodsport, I think.
It was after Shimmer.
We were waiting in line for Bloodsport, and we were getting merch.
Yes.
I was getting merch, and the dog was there.
Yes,
it was
I said so, he was adorable, and they heard it, and I was like,
he is very adorable.
Cute AF.
Officer Magnum accompanied Solo Darling to the ring. The crowd starts chanting for Officer Magnum, and then the dog is very confused because he hears his name over and over. But he looks excited that people are giving him attention.
Yes.
And also, Solo Darling is introduced as taller than a stack of pancakes. leaner than a pint of ice cream, and the Archduke of the Apron.
I actually like that last game a lot.
They're all very good.
They all are, but it's the Archduke of the Apron. That's a...
Anyway, let's get into this match. This match is very, very good because this match starts off with JXT mocking the fact that Solo Darling is very short because Solo Darling asks for a test of strength and JXT gets on his knees.
Oh, my.
And he's like, all right, let's do this. And when he gets down on his knees, he is met with a volley of kicks from Solo Darling, who just kicks him in the chest over and over.
Nice.
Which shows you where this match is going to go. Do not mess with Solo Darling.
This is a good time already.
Yeah. This match was all very good. There was one little spot that got messed up where Solo Darling looked like she was trying to jump off the top rope to hit a Hurricane Rana.
Mm-hmm.
But there was a little bit of miscommunication, and she kind of just, like, jumped into JXT in, like, a weird way and, like, landed. Oh. It was, like, it looked really weird. You know?
Okay.
Like, you could tell it wasn't supposed to go that way.
Mm-hmm.
But the announcers sold it beautifully. They were just like, oh, man, Solo Darling just throwing her body into JXT. So they sold it really well. I give credit to the announcers for that.
For selling
the botch and putting it over a little bit and not being like, oh, I'm not totally sure what that move was, you know?
Uh-huh.
I hate – that's one of my pet peeves. Real quick sidebar. That's one of my pet peeves is when announcers do that shit. When, like, somebody, like, botches a move or, like, hits a move weird and the announcers are like, well, I'm not sure what his plan was there. It's like, stop. Don't – you have to sell it. Make me not realize that it was a botch, you know? Like, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Like, stay in kayfabe. Don't my be like,
immersion.
Well, that wasn't supposed to happen, you know?
You're breaking your immersion.
Yeah, exactly. Anyway, but besides that, there are some sweet moments in this match, like when they do where JXT gets a top rope Rana, but this time they're both on the top rope, not mm-hmm. Solo jumping from the top rope to JXT, who's in the ring.
Okay.
They're, like, both on the top rope. JXT hits a Hurricane Rana from the top. Solo Darling lands and just rolls and stands up and just, like, hulks up.
That's awesome.
And just turns around and spears the shit out of JXT.
Nice.
It was awesome. Like, she, like, landed and everyone was like, oh, my God, what a big Hurricane Rana. And then she gets up and she's like, you could tell that the adrenaline is rushing. And everyone's like, wait a minute. And just wham, huge spear, takes JXT out.
Love it.
There's one point where JXT gets, like, a big combination into his finisher called the retweet.
Oh, okay.
His finisher is called the retweet. It's really just a pedigree.
All right.
It's just okay. I watched it over and over. I was like, is he doing something different? No, it's literally just a pedigree. But Solo Darling does kick out, which was pretty
Ooh.
Crazy. And to end the match, there was a huge top rope swinging backbreaker from Solo Darling onto JXT into her finishing move, which is called the Sharp Stinger.
The Sharp Stinger.
Which is just, it's like a sharpshooter.
I was going to say the sharpshooter?
But it's the Sharp Stinger because Bird and Bee, you know.
Yeah, you know.
It's a Sharp Stinger. It's like a sharpshooter. It's like one of those sharpshooters like where like you stand forward at first, though,
mm-hmm.
when it's locked in and then turn it around.
Oh, okay.
But she ends up winning this match by making JXT tap out.
Nice.
Yeah. And it was really cool because that she won because the announcers are building up this story of how she's been on a little bit of a losing streak and beyond. She's been losing a little bit here and there on her solo runs without Willow Nightingale. And the fact that she won this match, they sold it really well. They're like, oh, she won a match. She fight like... They weren't like, oh my God, she finally won a match. It was like, it was just like a nice little burst of momentum, you know?
Nice.
Like after they've been selling, it's like, oh yeah, Solo Darling's been having a rough time here and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So it was nice to see her get a win after they were selling me that because it was like, oh really? It was like that moment of like made you feel kind of bad.
Mm-hmm.
It made you want to root for her, so it was nice.
Exactly.
But anyway, all around, this match was pretty cool. These two really gave it all they got. Beyond was like a perfect place for this match to happen because the fans rule. And I think I love Uncharted Territory because it literally is what it says. You know, it's like a lot of matches I feel like you wouldn't see anywhere else.
Exactly.
So I'm really I think this was a perfect spot for this match. I really like this match a lot. I'm going to give it a high meh. It didn't hit me over that mark out for sure, but like it that does not take away from it. It was still a really good match.
Okay.
I just wish there was a little bit more, and it was like a little short. It was like maybe like 12, 13 minutes.
Okay.
So I wish it was a little bit longer so I could have gotten more out of it, because I know if these two went longer, it could have been like really, really good.
Gotcha.
Potential. So, but high meh, still an awesome match. Definitely go check it out if you can. I really liked it. So, nice. Zach, what have you brought to the table for your first match this week?
I'm torn here because I was going to go with my the match I didn't love, but it was fine with. In a different one, but I have another one from Beyond that I want to do as well. I'm torn here. You know what? I'll go for the one that was for me, and okay. Spoiler alert, but then we'll go with the one that I was really happy with. All right. Okay. So I decided to go look around for more. As you all have heard from us, if you listened to us for a while, or at least a couple weeks, we went to the Collective and saw a lot of really good independent wrestlers, many of which I had never seen before, nor were I not familiar with. One of the wrestlers that I was interested in because I liked her gimmicks, I think it's hilarious, is Lainey Luck, which is the party unicorn, if you any of you know her.
Yes, Lainey Luck is pretty great.
Is like taking every like meme that's supposed to be about cringe and then just smashing it together into one awesome gimmick that she just fully embraces, and I love it. If you I don't even remember. Did you put me dabbing in the VOD? I don't remember.
Yes, definitely.
If you've seen that, then there was, you know
there was no doubt I put
I
that in there.
I figured as much. I couldn't remember. Yeah, but I love to ironically dab because I think it's hilarious. So her gimmick, I was like, all right, I want to see more of this of her wrestle, right? Mm-hmm. So I ended up picking a Zello Pro match that just recently happened. It happened in September between her and the Queen Bee, Brooke Valentine.
Ooh, all right.
Obviously, it was COVID era, so you could tell it was from, like, the chairs and everyone, that everyone's all spread out.
Saturday. Yeah, It was in September, I meant.
Yep. So I was like, all right, I'm like, dope, because I'm trying to find some more recent matches for when I picked this. So the crowd was very clearly on Lainey's side here, because she's the reigning champion right now.
I keep picking old matches. You're picking newer matches. I keep picking old matches because I miss when we were all able to be in the same room together really close and not care.
I feel that, man.
Like, I miss being, like, I miss going to concerts and stuff, you know?
Exactly. Like there's nothing like having a crowd of people all
I miss being in a big crowd. But anyway.
So the crowd was on her side. Valentine, I will give her this. She did a really good job of making the best of every time in the ring when she got to shine. Like, she was, like, talking to the crowd. She's like, what, you don't like me? Like, she's, like, mouthing off to the crowd. She's like, oh, you know, whatever. There was, like, you know when, like, the ref, like, puts the belt out for the champion to like, you know, like, say goodbye to the belt before they have to, like, fight for it? The ref was going to lift it up without letting her, and then she's like, hold on, let me look at it. And the ref had to do it, and I was like, oh, this is, I'm like, that's nice, like that. This match was, to get into the meat of this match, though, this was a power versus speed dynamic, because Valentine is a big girl, and Lainey Luck is not the biggest girl, like, in terms of, like, she's skinnier. So, like literally the beginning of this match took a different turn for me, though, in how I thought it was going to go. Because usually with these power versus speed things, the power person usually goes on, like, a tear in the beginning. Then the speed person makes their comeback, and you want to see them win. Not in this match.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. So, thing is, the two at the beginning of the match, like, fall for controls. They usually do with, like, you know, headlocks, like, you know, like, trying to grapple each other. And, like, Valentine shows up. I keep saying Valentine for some reason. Valentine gets the advantage for a bit. Like, she, like, bounces her off. She's like, I'm stronger than you. So then they do, like, a test of strength, right?
Yeah.
And Lainey puts her in a headlock. And then I think she puts her in a headlock. And Lainey slips out and she dabs on her, which I loved because why not? She then applied her own headlock to, you know, take advantage of her speed in wrestling. Except, instead of Valentine throwing her off, she actually grounds her to the ground with this side headlock. And I was like, oh, I was like, okay, I'm willing to see where this goes for me. She then keeps her in the headlock for a long time. And even when Valentine, like, gets a comeback, she cuts her off again and, like, trips her when she's going off the ropes. And then, oh no, I know what it is. She goes to run the ropes, right? Valentine goes flat on the ground, like she's going to, like, wait for her to get up. And instead, Lainey stops, falls to the ground and grabs her in a headlock again while she's laying face down on the ground, which I was like, oh, wow, that's really smart, actually. I was like, you know what?
Nice.
So then, after a bit more of that and Valentine being on the defense a lot, she finally hits, like, a suplex on Lainey, right? And yet she still gets up, and she drop toe holds her when she runs at her, Lainey. She then does her the shoot dance before she does her elbow, which, I still love. Like, Valentine gets up, Lainey then just, like, grabs her in a sleeper. She throws her off her back, but it doesn't matter because Lainey then gets a massive, like, you know, like the arm drag where they run up the ropes and then they, like, do a massive arm drag?
Yeah.
She does that, which just looks cool as hell, by the way. Cool. And up to this point, I was like, wow, Valentine has gotten not much offense in. That actually finally changes at this part here, because Lainey, not wanting to let Valentine recover, suicide dives her. Except this is where Valentine finally gets her chance to shine, because Lainey tries to go into the ring to do something else, I don't know. And she grabs her by her foot, and she pulls her so that her face hits the apron. And then they do this spot, which in their head, and I think with a better ring would have had more impact, but it didn't. You know when like someone like Randy Orton like lifts someone up for the backbreaker thing and he drops them on the apron? They did that, but kind of like a sidewalk slam variation. But because the ring was like only a couple inches above where she dropped Lainey, it didn't really have the impact, which is unfortunate. Because I was like, oh, I'm like, if that was a shorter ring, that would have been better. But okay.
That was a shorter ring.
The ring was
or
just
if
a
you
bit
guys,
smaller.
If the ring was smaller, if you guys were taller. I
guess. Yeah, or just anything that could have helped. I was like, damn, I'm like, okay. She at this point now, Valentine starts to dominate her. Like, she knocks Lainey down whenever she gets back up. She's choking her out on the ropes. Valentine's, like, suplexing her whenever she tries to actually, like, get a comeback going. She's, like, beating down Lainey in the corner. She's punching her. She's, like, ramming her in the corner. She's, like, using the thing where she, like, sticks her foot into her face when she's down the floor. Finally, at this point, the power person finally got some offense in, which I was like, that took way longer than I thought. But, hey. I'm down for it. Let me see. What else happens? Oh, yeah. So, eventually, Lainey actually gets a comeback. And she breaks out and sends Valentine to the corner. She tries to do her the parties over combo, which is where she does two running knees, a kick, I think, and then, like, a running elbow or something like that. I can't remember this combo exactly, but it looked cool when she tried it. She missed, though. And Valentine then hit a massive cannonball.
It looked cool when she started.
Like, she did the whip, and I was like, yeah, more dances, and then she ran in and she missed, and I was like, oh no.
Oh, no.
You know when Kevin Owens is like a cannonball, he like really like curls up and like he lands mainly like on the person?
Yes.
Yeah. Valentine, I don't know how she did it, besides the fact that she's athletic as hell. She's huge, and she did a cannonball so hard that she literally like her feet hit the top turnbuckle and her upper torso like hit all of Lainey, and I was just like, damn, that's it's like, that's sick. I'm like, do that more. I like that. So at this point, then she tries to pin Lainey. It doesn't work, and she then says, if you guys would have just cheered for me, I would already have won. I'm the real champion here. You should have just cheered for me, which I actually thought was just amusing, because I was like, yeah, you get all the, I'm like, good shit. I'm like, you make what you got. I enjoyed it a lot. You then get the classic brawl where the two of them are, like, just beating each other up, like, exchanging stripes, and then they both clothesline each other, and they're both down, right? Valentine then gets some offense on her on by putting Lainey on the top rope, but she fights her off and then delivers a well-done Hurricane Rana, which looked really nice, because the wrestling in this match wasn't the smoothest at points, but, you know, they did what they could. She finally hit the parties over combo, but she couldn't pick it up. She then hit with the – Valentine then hit on Lainey out of nowhere a tabletop suplex – followed by a Michinoku driver, but she can't get the pin either. So then we finally get into the finishing sequence where Valentine tries to go for her finisher, which is the bee sting, which I thought was pretty funny when you talked about the... It's a spear.
The sharp stinger and the bee sting.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, that's funny. Coincidence.
Very much.
Lainey super kicks her, then does a great German suplex on Valentine, which popped me off of it because Valentine's huge and she made it look... It looked really good.
Yeah.
And then she hit the Unicutter for the win. She retained her title.
That's awesome.
Overall, I'm going to give this match a meh, because even though I described the match and it sounds like it's really entertaining, like this match could be slow at points, And the wrestling wasn't the best. Like, I've definitely seen better wrestling.
For me, that headlock spot in the beginning sounded like it was...
It was a lot.
A little long, yeah.
It was a lot. It felt really long, and there was a lot of time where I was like, wow, she just cannot get any offense on, and I'm not vibing. Like, it picked up a bit towards the end. Like, I will say, the Unicutter looks sick. I didn't get a chance to actually see her do that at the collective, so I was like, all right.
There we go.
But yeah, I got to give props to them both. They both tried a lot, like, their hardest to make this match as entertaining as they could. And I was like, all right, that's fine. I did not feel like I wasted my time, which is all you can ask for.
Always good.
You can ask for when always. You watch a wrestling match.
I feel like it was a good use of my time. All right. Well, my next match, Zach, is from Limitless Wrestling.
Okay.
We got a six-person tag. Six-person tag match. I don't know why I couldn't do math for a second. We have a six-person tag match between the team of Main State Posse, which is a group consisting of Danger Kid, Aiden Agro, and apparently new to the group at the time, Alexander Lee.
I don't know who any of these people are, so I'm already excited.
Me neither. That's what made me excited for this. But I do know who the opposing team is, because the opposing team is Ashley Vox of the Sea Stars.
Okay.
Chris Statlander from AEW.
Awesome.
And Alley Cat.
Hey. Oh, wow. Continue.
I saw that team of three and I was like, I cannot watch this match. That team is insane. So this match is awesome to start off. It's very gimmick heavy, I will say. Because Alley Cat's a very gimmick-heavy wrestler. Chris Statlander's a very gimmick-heavy wrestler. Ashley Vox doesn't have as much of a gimmick as the other two, but, like, she tried.
Maybe that's to balance it out a bit.
Yeah, but, this match still had its fair share of wrestling, don't get me wrong. It's just there was also very gimmick-heavy spots, like, which I'm going to describe in a little bit.
All right.
But the spot I want to – it starts off pretty slow. But the spot that, like, really solidified me on how this match is going to be was when it was Danger Kid and Alley Cat are in the ring together.
Okay.
And they both have gauges. They both wear gauges.
Okay.
But obviously they don't wear them in the ring because that's dangerous. So they just both have just, like, the holes in their ears.
Gotcha.
And there's points where Danger Kid was, like, rubbing the holes in his ears. And then he was going to, like, do, like, a fish hook on Alley Cat.
Okay.
Because apparently that's a thing he does, because the holes get, like, really gross, apparently, because when he did it, he, like, smelled them and went, like, ooh, you know?
Oh, yeah, I gotcha.
It was, like, almost like a Socko thing, like, where he put, like, something gross in somebody's mouth. So he tried to do that. Alley Cat reversed it, slammed him to the ground, and then she put her fingers in her ear holes and tried to do the same thing, which also got reversed. And there was one point where they're both holding each other's hands, and then with their other hands, they both put their finger in one ear, and then they both have the fingers in each other's in each other's ear holes. And they're, like, dragging each other around. Oh, and they're just, like, stuck in this grapple of they each have a finger in each other's ear hole, like, just in this, like, standoff, like, oh, man, who's gonna break first?
Who's gonna...
And that's when I knew this match is gonna be off the rails.
That sounds wild, honestly.
It gets better, because there was a point where they, like, it's, like, they hit each other, and they both start going for the tag.
Okay.
But then Aiden Agro, like, Alley Cat's going to trying to go tag in somebody from her corner. Danger Kid's trying to get a tag.
Okay.
Aiden Agro comes on the apron with a cat toy. And he starts waving it, and Alley Cat is, like, distracted by it.
She's like,
I want to go for the tag, but toy. And then Chris Statlander from the corner, like, holds her hands out and, like, telepathically controls Alley Cat to bring her over for the tag. Like, Chris Statlander, like, puts her hands out and uses, like, her alien powers, and you can see Alley Cat, like, turn to Chris Statlander and, like, do, like, that, like, zombie mind control walk toward the corner.
And to
tag Chris Statlander in, they do the, instead of a tag, it's, they, like, meet their fingers together.
Like the E.T. thing.
Yeah, they do that to get the tag in. And then Chris Statlander's in this match.
Nice.
And Chris Statlander comes in and against Alexander Lee.
Mm-hmm.
Alexander Lee comes in. They both go for each other. Alexander Lee goes for a big punch to which Chris Statlander telepathically stops with her alien powers and gives him a big like roundhouse kick.
I can't. I don't know how close you are to this match.
Dude, it's okay. So funny. It's so funny.
What the fuck?
So they're wrestling for a while. Then at one point, Alexander Lee hits Chris Statlander with a big DDT. Mm-hmm. To which Chris Statlander responds, "Oh no, my connection severed," and she couldn't like use her alien powers anymore.
Oh my god!
So she needs a tag in.
Okay.
To which Ashley Vox of the Sea Stars grabs a fishing, like an imaginary fishing pole, and reels Chris Statlander in for the tag.
Oh my god! Oh my god!
Okay. Actually, hold on. I want to mention a cool spot that happened earlier in the match that I got distracted by.
Go
all the
for
gimmicks.
It. I don't there even blame one, you. There's so there
was,
much.
Yeah, there was one really cool triple team spot with Main State Posse.
Okay,
because they had Alley Cat laying on the apron, like underneath the bottom rope,
mm-hmm.
and Danger Kid does he goes off the other side of the ropes, comes back, and he does like a big stomp. Like, he goes to do, like, a big stomp, and as he's doing the big stomp, the other two members of Main State Posse jump on the apron and drop kick, a sandwich on Alley Cat's head as he's stomping on her back. It was so cool, and it was timed so perfectly, because they all hit, like, perfectly at the same time.
Damn.
It was so beautifully coordinated, and I loved it. That was just one quick spot I wanted to mention. There's another really cool triple team spot later that I'll get to.
That is wild.
Yeah, it was super sick. Anyway, back to Ashley Vox reeling in Chris Statlander for the tag. Vox literally, like, reels her in, and she gets the tag in, and then it's Vox and Aiden Agro are wrestling. They wrestle for a while. The match goes to the outside. It's kind of a clusterfuck on the outside, you know, suicide dives, blah, blah, blah. The whole tag team thing where it's, like, a little bit chaos on the outside.
Yeah.
And then all of them are gathered on one side of the ropes.
Okay.
And Alley Cat's going to do a suicide dive, but then stops at the last second. She goes, "I can't do it. I'm a pussy. I can't."
Oh.
Get it? Because she's a cat. but she literally couldn't do it. And then everyone in the arena, including the members of Main State Posse, were cheering her on, like, to do the dive, which is wild, because, like, the opposing team was like, "Yeah, you got this. Come on, do it. You can do it. Come on."
Oh, my God.
And then she goes to do, and then she's like, all right. She see her, like, building up the strength and the confidence to do it, and she goes to do it, and then Alexander Lee slides in the ring and just hits her with a huge lariat. They baited her so hard, it was so funny.
The bait. I got baited. I was like, they're just going to let him in. I was like, all right.
Yeah. So that's a crazy, wild thing that happened. And then there's a point where it's more, like, kind of cluster FV tag team action, where it's like, this person's in, then this person's in, and then this person takes out this person.
Yeah.
And there's one point where Chris Statlander meets Alexander Lee again. Remember the guy who's punchy block with, like, the mind powers?
Yeah.
But this time, Alexander Lee slides in the ring wearing a tinfoil hat to block Statlander's alien powers. So Statlander can't stop the punch, and she ends up getting hit with a big lariat, which I thought was really funny.
I just goes with the fucking tinfoil hat, like, yes.
Yeah, and then Danger Kid comes in the ring, and I think hits like a Rough Rider, like the thing Zack Ryder does, which is great, because another great thing about this match is that Ethan Page is on commentary.
Oh my god!
To which he calls this, he hits the Rough Rider, and you hear Ethan Page from the commentary booth go, "Oh, that's the thing Zack Ryder does."
Oh my god!
He was like, "Oh, it's that thing that Zack Ryder does."
There was a point in which this match in which someone might have asked, "Is this too much?" And then they were like, "It's never too much," and they just kept going, and I love it.
Okay. So here's the other big tag team spot I was talking about with Mainstay Posse.
Okay.
There is a point where Alley Cat, I think it's Alley Cat, is on the ropes, right?
Okay.
And then from the outside, Aggro hits one of those, like, you know where you, like, you grab the ropes and hit, like, one of those, like, roundhouse kicks going up?
Yeah.
Yeah, he hits one of those on Alley Cat. Alley Cat starts falling back into Alexander Lee, who grabs her shoulders and brings her down into, like, a backbreaker.
Okay.
Like a backstabber kind of move. Mm-hmm. And then holds her on his knees, and Danger Kid runs up, hops on the top rope, and hits a senton.
Oh!
While she's on his knees.
Damn, was that Alley Cat again taking a nasty triple team?
I think so. Let me double check.
Damn, dude.
Yeah, we know Alley Cat could take a beating. We've seen it before.
Oh, yeah. It's just...
We saw her take that one curb stomp at the clusterfuck.
Oh, yeah, that curb stomp looked... that shit hurt.
On the double-checking, it was actually Chris Statlander taking this spot. And so in this spot, Chris Statlander is in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just watching the spot right now. I'm going to commentate as it happens. Okay. Chris Statlander is in corner. Alexander takes her legs and, like, flips them around so she's sitting on the middle rope facing toward the crowd.
Okay.
And then Aiden Aggro comes up and does that kick I was talking about into the backstabber from the second rope, and then Danger Kid gets up on the top and does the senton.
Gotcha.
It was wild. However, this does not end the match because Ashley Vox comes in and makes the save on the pin.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, and ends up taking out Danger Kid, and then Chris Statlander takes out, I believe, takes out Lee?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, hold on. Here's the spot. We got Vox taking out Danger Kid.
Okay.
Alley Cat takes out Alexander Lee with a headbutt.
Okay.
And then Aiden Aggro comes in, and Statlander takes care of him.
Mm-hmm.
To wit, and then Alley Cat goes for Danger Kid and hits him with the pussy pile driver and wins the match, gets the 1-2-3 with that.
I've never heard her finisher before till now.
It's called the pussy pile driver.
Oh my god.
Yeah, so she hits that, wins the match, and Alley Cat, Ashley Vox, and Chris Statlander take home the victory. This match is, as you can tell from me trying to explain what the hell was going on, this match was wild.
That is a word.
This match was a wild fucking ride throughout the whole thing. I dare say wild
doesn't do the justice of what you described to me. There was mind control powers.
It was insane, dude. There's so many things happening in this
match. This match just threw the kitchen sink at it. Listen, and as I said, I'm so happy because when you do something like this, you either don't do it at all or you commit to the bit. And they committed to it.
They committed to it so hard. Me explaining it doesn't do it justice. Definitely go watch this match. Personally, for me, I can see why other people wouldn't give it this, but personally for me, it was a markout because it was super fun. I had a great time watching it. All the spots, like, there was a mixture of really cool spots. There was a mixture of comedy spots. There was good wrestling in there. Everything was, like, hit, you know?
Gotcha.
For me. And I really liked it a lot. So I give this match a markout. Go check it out. It's over on Limitless Wrestling's YouTube channel. Definitely go watch it if you can. It's a super fun match. If gimmick heavy is not your thing, it's not for you. But if you like gimmicks, if you like people, if you like suspending your disbelief for a little bit for some stupid fun moments in wrestling, then you're going to love this one, because I sure did. So yeah, definitely go check it out if that's your thing. If not, hey, cool. We respect you. Your opinion matters. Everybody has their tastes.
Of course. We get it.
All right. So with that out of the way, Zach, what is your next match?
All right. Brace yourself, because this is a big match in many ways.
Big.
I watched Thick Mama Pump Jordynne Grace go against the Meat Man John Silvers at Beyond Wrestling.
I almost watched this match this week too. I was very, very close to watching this match. That's so crazy.
One of these days, you and I are going to accidentally pick the
also,
same.
Also, I see.
Match.
I see why you said it's a big match.
It's a big match.
Oh boy.
So. I would
two very big, thick people in this ring.
I have to say, I haven't watched AEW in like a month because work and other stuff, and I've fallen so far behind to the point where, like, it's when you're watching a TV show and you're like, one of the days I'm just going to binge watch it for the week. That'll probably be me one of these days. Mm-hmm. Since it's a pay-per-view coming up soon. But before I stopped watching, I was like, man, John Silver's and Ryan Reynolds are fucking great at wrestling. And I love John Silver's a lot. Mm-hmm. And I was like, let me find a match of his. And I saw that he went against Jordan Grace. So I was like, all right. I'm like, I'm down for this match. I'm like, this could be a good match.
You have no idea how close I... It's so crazy because I was so close to watching this match too.
Oh man, that would have been a special episode then.
Oh man, that'd be crazy. I feel like it's gonna happen one day. We're not gonna know what to do.
Yeah, we'll figure it out when we get there.
Like, I'm gonna be like, yo, Zach, I watched this awesome match. It was this person and this person. You'd be like, oh yeah.
Yeah, dude. Tell me. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Tell me more.
Yeah.
All right. On to the match. First things first of this match that is awesome. MJF's on commentary for this match, which is great. Always a joy to listen to. He is the current champion at the time when this match occurred, and according to him, his pinky is injured, too injured for him to wrestle.
Very, very MJF.
Very much so. I was like, all right, this is good. So the match comes out. You know, John Silvers is being his exaggerated cocky heel that he is when he is a heel, and I love it. Jordan Grace is, if you've seen any Jordan Grace match, you know what Thick Mama Pump's all about.
Mm-hmm.
Confidence, swagger out the ass, arms bigger than your head.
Yes.
So the match, you know, it's funny how I talked about the Valentine and Luck match. This match also has an interesting dynamic in that Silver is actually stronger than Jordan in this match. Which was unique for me, because I've only seen matches where she's the big powerhouse in the match, not the other way around. Like, the match literally starts off, and he just tosses her off of him. Then she tries to shoulder check him, he just no-sells it, and then yells at her, I'm freaking thick, you can't knock me over, get real!
Let's go!
And I was just like, okay, I was like, damn, you thick boy, alright?
So, all right, I like that. This is starting already.
Exactly. Now, that doesn't mean that Jordan isn't still her strong Terminator-like self. She immediately then shoulder checks him, to which he flops to the ground and then rolls to the corner. And he looks obnoxiously, like, surprised, shocked, like, how could she ever knock me to the ground? Is just like, what you got, son?
What you got, son?
So she then tosses him from the corner to another corner, and then as she runs up, he just runs up and boots her in the face and knocks her to the ground. I was just like,
fuck.
Okay. I was like, I was expecting some more
going
Jordan,
right in.
Yeah. So there's this fun section where, so Jordan's on her knees, right? And Silver starts doing what is basically the yes kicks or the it kicks, depending on if you prefer the Miz's version.
Yeah.
Except during this time, Silver's just like, he's like exaggerating, like, shh, shh, be quiet as he kicks her. And every time he hits her, he does, like, the, ooh, that must have hurt, like, expressions around her. Like, just obnoxious, and I love it. I loved it so much. And then it ends where you see Jordan starts to get up, and he does a little, like, he goes to the ground and goes, whoa. And then as she gets up, he fucking karate kicks her in the chest.
Jesus.
And then it looks brutal because she literally gets turned inside out by this kick, and he yells, I'm the goddamn Karate Kid. That is my exact reaction. Followed by
He's the Karate Kid, but he's not the Karate Man.
So again, Jordan starts to make a comeback, and then he stops her short by like grabbing her arm and enziguring her in the back of the head. And then he puts her in a chin lock. Like, he just takes control over and over. Every time she's about to get out of something, he takes control over again. Then she finally gets her second win. She was one slam, two slam. She's going for the third slam. But Silver baited her so that what he does is he then gets behind her, pushes her to the ropes. She turns around and she just eats a dropkick in the face.
Oof.
I was like, oh, damn. I was like, that was awesome, honestly. I was like, keep doing more, please. Silver then goes for a punt kick, misses, and then Jordan hits what commentary then dubs the best of the Attitude Era. She hits a stunner. And then as he's falling backwards, she grabs him and hits him into a scorpion death drop.
Oh, shit.
And I was like, and the commentary was like, well, if you're going to borrow from anyone, you might as well borrow from two of the best. And I was like, I was like, fair enough. I was like, I didn't expect Jordan to do that, but fuck yeah, let's do this shit. Jordan then hits, from what I recall, like her signature strikes in the corner. She like beats him down, gets him up for a muscle buster. He gets out of it. The two then try to roll each other up, like he tries to, like, it's like the thing, like, you get behind your opponent and then you, like, pull them down and put them forward. She, like, tries rolling him up. Mm-hmm. He ends out on top by, oh, man, I'm reading this now. He kicks Jordan in the face, like, three times. Like, he kicks her with a roundhouse kick, a super kick, and then another kick. And then mm-hmm. she, as he grabs her to do something here, she just suplexes him out of nowhere, and it was just, I remember I popped off, so I was like, oh, shit. I was like, let's fucking go.
Let's go.
I love a Haas fight. An intergender Haas fight is something I wasn't expecting, wasn't sure how it would look, and it looked every bit I wanted it to do. She then gets some more offense on him where she starts clubbing them on while he's getting up, right? He then forearms her in the face and then ground pounds her. Like, he's literally, like, got his hand in the fist. He's just hitting her, like, in, like, the face, right? Then he then gets up and boots her in the face, but then she hulks up from this, hits a picture-perfect spinebuster, which I loved. I think I've seen this before when I watched the Deonna Purrazza match with her. Mm-hmm. And then she does the same thing back to him. She ground pounds him on his face, and I was like, yeah! I was like, get back in it! Let's fucking go!
Nice.
She then tries to run at him, and Silver does the logical thing. He lays down in front of her and trips her. And I was just like, similar to the match before, I was like, you know, I love when wrestlers act smart. I'm like, continue. And then he just runs and boots her in the back of the head and then hits a snap German suplex so fast I almost missed it. Like, it was just kick, immediate German suplex. I was like, oh!
Jesus.
It's like, that looked brutal.
Yeah, sounds like it.
She then makes a comeback. She makes a short comeback, hits him in the corner, picks him up, does a huge power bomb on him. But he's able to kick out. We then get to the finish where Jordan tries to do her Vader bomb on him.
Okay.
But she starts to pose for the crowd, and because of this, Silver's able to get his knees up. He then tries to kick her, but she grabs his leg, right? She's staring at him, and he's staring at her, and it's kind of like, what are you going to do now? And he's just open hand slaps her in the face. And then she does the Minoru Suzuki slap where she grabs him and just starts smacking him in the face repeatedly.
Oof.
And I was like, let's go. Let's go. And then Silver does this really interesting, like, cool maneuver that I was expecting where he, like, gets around her with his other leg and he trips her, right?
Mm-hmm.
He puts her in a cross face, but he uses Jordan's big, huge arm as, like, the thing to pull over her face, right?
Yeah.
And she's trying to get out of this. Her hair is in her face. She's crawling to the rope. She eventually gets him over onto a pin, right, where she, like, pulls him backwards. He gets out of it, but he's still holding her arm at this point. He then just knees her in the face, like, four times and puts her back into the hold. And at this point, then, the ref calls it because he's knocked her out at this point.
God.
Which is the win. He wins. And then the best part is my favorite part of the match is coming up. One of my other favorite parts of the match comes up after the match. So Jordan's down on the ground. Silver's just celebrating. The crowd is booing the shit out of him because why wouldn't you at this point?
Mm-hmm.
And he then sees Jordan starts getting up, so he gets her up. And you can hear MJF on comedy going, I swear to God, if you shake her hand, I think he says, like, I will lose all the respect for you. Don't you dare shake her hand. Because, you know, watching as much with independent waters, I've noticed this is a common spot where they shake the other one's hand, right?
Yeah.
So I'm, like, waiting for this. Like, he's raised Jordan's hand, and she's got this look on her of, like, don't touch me. Why are you raising my hand and thank you at the same time on her face of, like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
And then as he's, like, give it up for Jordan, everyone's like, yeah. He then turns around, gives her a meaty lariat in the face, and then punt kicks her.
God!
And then, just to note, the ref is trying to get him to stop after he does this, and he shoves the ref to the ground as the ref is on the ropes, as he's running around the ring with his hands in the air celebrating. He sees the ref, and he just gives him a little kick out of the ring, and he's Jesus. Celebrating, and that's how the match, that's how it cuts off.
That's crazy.
This match is a mark out in every way. It is two big, beefy individuals, I can't even say lads at this point, beating the snot out of each other. I love mm-hmm. this match. I highly recommend any of you watch if you're a fan of Silver or Grace.
Sounds like a fun match. I was, like I said, I was so close to watching it myself because it seemed so interesting to me as well.
Exactly.
So I'm glad to hear it was very good.
Oh, I was so happy with this match when I finished it. I was just like, let's fucking go. Like, yeah, give me
it seems
more
like
it
was absolutely nuts.
I will say,
you described.
I'm one of the main things I'm happy about being able to see with this with this, you know, podcast and such, is I get to see more intergender wrestling because you don't see it ever on.
I know. Intergender wrestling is so good,
and I'm always like in this thing where I'm like I could definitely see it being good. I'm like, I just need to see someone do it, and I am full supporter of it because I'm like, A, it's wrestling, so you know,
wrestlers. I would say it's wrestling, and wrestlers are wrestlers.
Exactly. And B, god damn, man, whenever they just go for it. I just love
wrestling, man.
Exactly.
Wrestling is so good. Listen, if you're listening to this podcast, you know, but wrestling is so good.
Oh, I love wrestling.
All right. Oh. Well, Zach, we both had our markout matches. We both said the matches we watched this week on our own. So let's get to the match we watched together.
I believe you
suggested this, so let's hear what it is.
All right. So, to give you all the background information on this, when I got to pick this match, I noticed that this episode, we would be recording it near Halloween. So I was like, all right, I'm going to find a death match or a Halloween-themed
indie. It's close.
Yep, it's close enough now. I was like, I'm going to find a Halloween-
What are you missing by, like, 4 days?
Or hardcore/deathmatch-themed match that I've never seen before. And I was like, all right. I went looking around, and then I stumbled upon this match, which is Kaylee Ray versus Viper, or as some know her in NXT UK, Piper Niven, in a Queen of Insanity match for the Insane Championship Wrestling title, women's title.
So this is two NXT UK stars before NXT UK.
Yep.
Love it.
At first I saw it, I was like, I'm like, they're mainstream, I'm like, I've never seen a Queen of Insanity match.
Listen, we've established the rules. You're allowed to watch people from mainstream stuff as long as it's not on the mainstream brand, you know?
Mm-hmm. Now, I will say a warning for any of you that actually decide to watch this match takes a bit to actually get started.
Yes.
There's a bit.
It does take a minute.
But, as you will see, I think it is worth the wait.
I agree. I don't mind how this match started off kind of slow because it started off with them taking turns hitting each other with weapons, which I thought was so badass.
Yes.
Because they were just like, here, you hit me now.
Yeah, they just took kendo sticks and
Kaylee
was like, all right, hit me. She hit her and she's like, fuck that hurt. And then she's like, all right, now you let me hit you. And Viper was like, all right. Yeah, all right.
Fair enough. Yeah, turnabout is fair play. Go
exactly.
For it.
Exactly. I love that when Kaylee Ray eventually got her time, she hit Viper in the face with this kendo stick, and I was like, oh, that probably hurt. I was like,
no,
okay.
that was the other weird weapon. They hit each other with the kendo stick, and yeah, the carpet gripper or whatever.
Yeah, it's a carpet gripper. It's a thing you've used to beat carpet. Yeah, that shot. I was like, oh.
That over the head, it just broke in half right over her head. Oh, man. Because she faked her out on the shoulder. She tensed up, and then, like, Kaylee Ray went to go swing at Viper's shoulder, stopped, came back, and just went, whack right over her head, and the thing snapped in half. It was wild. And Viper just dropped like a sack of bricks.
Yeah, like after the kendo stick spot, where after she hit her in the head and she like knocked her to the ground, she went out and got the carpet gripper and did that. At this point now, I have to give the commentary props because I was dying of laughter from these commentators. Like Kaylee Ray got this carpet gripper, and one of the announcers just said, asked the other, Who's the dick down at PNQ that keeps selling carpet grippers to fucking wrestlers? And I was dying of laughter when he says, and the guy's like, we're going to have to get his name then, I guess. I was dying of laughter from that. I was dying for, okay. So,
Kaylee Ray, I guess the people who sell them this stuff are probably like, oh, you know, they're probably going to go do some carpeting.
Yeah.
Same thing when they walk into Staples and probably buy, like, their whole stock of packs.
Exactly.
Which, in this match, they probably did.
Oh, Jesus. Okay.
We'll get to that later.
So, after this, Kaylee gets out, and she gets a pink cheese grater, which I think was in, like, a trash can outside of the ring.
I died of laughter.
Dude, for this.
When she got the cheese grater, I was actually terrified.
I was like, I was terrified, and then I started laughing because I heard the commentator yell, who the fuck has a pig cheese grater, and where did they actually fucking get that? And I was just dying of laughter, and then she walked into the ring with it, and she positioned it over Viper's already bleeding head, and I was like, oh no. I was like, we're going to see someone's head get grated.
I was so scared that we were going to watch Kaylee Ray just start grinding Viper's forehead, dude. I was terrified.
Mm-hmm. But no. She hit her on the head with it, and it just exploded.
Yeah, we thought we were going to see some, like, brutal, like, her grating her forehead, but nah, Kaylee Ray just took it and just bashed it over Viper's head.
Just exploded into a million pieces.
Yeah, it just blew up. It was insane.
Thought it was hilarious. I was just like, I'm like, what the fuck?
I got baited very hard.
I did too. I was like, okay, fine. This works. I think the next major thing was when Viper tried to do the Viper Bomb, which is a Vader Bomb, and she ended up just going through chairs, which probably sucked.
Yeah, yeah.
And then
she
fucking suplexed Rey onto the chair.
It was a power bomb. Yeah,
the
power bomb. And it didn't.
The chair didn't give.
Because she hit like she like threw Kaylee Ray like on the side of the chair, and it like and Kaylee Ray like winged her shoulder on it.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't. Look
both these spots looked like it sucked.
Yeah, the way Kaylee Ray landed looked awful. It really looked like she actually hurt herself. And
yeah,
it was
and Viper
kinda,
obviously
kinda
doing
scary.
A Vader bomb onto two chairs off the top rope.
There's no way that could have been.
There's no way. So I have to say at this point, throughout this entire match, it's like a barbed wire table just sitting by the ramp, right? I was literally sitting there and I was like, give me the barbed wire ramp.
It's gonna happen. It's gonna
and
happen.
And when Viper finally went to go grab it, I was like, yes. It's like, I demand blood. I forgot how it went, but like, so Kaylee Ray goes outside. She grabs a fanny pack, which I'm pretty sure she came in with, right?
She grabs the fanny pack she came in the ring with, and then opens it up and just dumps out a whole bunch of thumbtacks.
Which I
thought was the funniest shit I've ever seen. The way she decided to bring them to the ring, it wasn't like that ominous black bag where like, you dump it out slowly. It was just a fanny pack.
I was just like, there they are. I'm like, fuck, there. I think she like put an ironing board in the corner, and then like Viper did an overhead. Oh yeah, so she poured these out in the corner, right? To visualize this for you, she then set up in the closest corner an ironing board, and Viper does a belly to belly to Kaylee, and Kaylee goes into the ironing board, but she landed in the tacks or close to the tacks. I'm thinking to myself, oh my god, that is terrifying.
Yep.
Don't do that.
Yep. They did a lot of wrestling around those tacks.
Yes, they did. And there were many
times when it wasn't just the tack spot. Like, it was wild.
But, folks, if you thought that the tacks this time from a little fanny pack were enough, get ready for this next bit. Mikey, please elaborate what happens after this.
So, after this, Viper goes outside the ring, and she grabs the trash can. She empties out the trash can, throws whatever weapon she doesn't want out, and brings the trash can in. Everyone's like, oh, she's just grabbing the trash can. No worries. But the way she's bringing it in is, like, kind of suspect, because it's like, why don't you just throw it in? But, like, she's being very careful with it, and we're not sure why. Until she gets to the middle of the ring and turns it over, and it turns out the trash can was, like, half full of just thumbtacks.
Yep. She just pours it all over Kaylee Ray too,
bro.
So it's like
they went to Staples and were like, "How many thumbtacks you got?" And they were like, "This many." And they were like, "Yes,
exactly."
What? We'll take all of them.
Completely baited.
How many? They're like, "Oh, how many boxes do you need?" Yes.
Yes, your entire. I'll take your entire stock.
Yeah, I'll take your entire stock.
Oh literally. My god, dude! I had the same thought. I was like, "Oh, it's just a trash can." No way. And then she jumped in. I was like, oh, no.
I figured there was something in it when she was bringing it in. Weird. I was like, what is in there? And then she dumped it. And I was like, what?
Oh, my God. And then, as if it wasn't anymore. So, in this point, Kaylee Ray's finisher is a gory bomb called the Dirty Bomb.
Yes.
And if any of you know what this looks like, it's when you get your opponent onto your shoulders, their face is facing away from you, and you drop them, and they go face first. Kaylee Ray and Viper at this point were like, you know what, let me gory bomb you face first onto this pile of tacks. And Viper was like, sure. And she just ate this move onto the tack.
Sure, why not? Yeah,
I'm
straight
myself,
face first into a pile of thumbtacks.
Visibly went, oh god, no. I was like, oh, that must have been awful.
I can see you doing that. I can see you, like, us, like, watching this match, like, sitting on the couch and just hanging out and just, like, eating Domino's or something.
Mm-hmm.
And then just this spot just happens and you just say that exact line.
I was like, oh my god. I was like, all right. It's like, let's. And she kicked out. And I was like, oh my god, the match isn't over yet.
That was wild. She got up and she had way less thumbtacks on her than I expected.
Mm-hmm.
Like, she got up and she had like a few in like her knees. And I was like, how do you not have thumbtacks literally everywhere right now?
Her forearms must have just like eaten all the tacks and she must have just brushed them off or something, man. Because
yeah, that was wild.
That was a dangerous spot.
Yeah, I think the big spot after this was the barbed wire table spot. Yeah.
Yep.
Off the off the top rope.
Yep. Kaylee went up for a dirty bomb on Viper, but Viper countered it into her finisher, which is like a body slam called the Viper Driver.
Yeah.
I think. And she put her through the table, Kaylee's hair got all caught in the table. Like, it was like a thunk.
Can we just talk about how Viper definitely took that table way harder?
Yeah.
Like Kaylee's head hit it, like, got it. Like, she caught her hair in it. But, like, Viper literally
got
was the one who landed on all the barbed wire.
Oh, absolutely. Like, when she got off of this, like, her arms were ripped up. I think one of Kaylee's arms might have been, like, ripped up. A Viper was just bleeding. I was like, yeah. I'm like, now we've reached deathmatch. I'm like, let's... I'm like, begin with the punishment.
The
punishment.
Continue the punishment. The ending spot was cool after this, too.
After they both
get up, Viper goes to pick Kaylee Ray up for another Viper driver into the tax. Mm-hmm. But Kaylee Ray, bare hand, just grabs like a fistful of barbed wire, rips it off the table.
Yeah, because it's still connected to the table, so when she tries to pull away, it's stuck on there, and she tears off
insane.
The barbed wire.
Can you just think about that? Trying to, like when you pull, like, a rope that's stuck to something, it, like, slides in your hand a little bit?
Exactly.
Imagine that, but with barbed wire just straight in your bare hand.
You know, now that you point that out, yeah, holy shit. Fuck.
That must have hurt like shit, right?
It must have. And I was like, oh, this should be interesting. And then we get to the finishing, where Viper gets put in a crossface in the pile of tacks, via the barbed wire rope that Kaylee pulls off of here.
And Kaylee, Viper, like, lands on Viper.
Like, it was death.
So what happened was Kaylee, like, got the barbed wire and, like, slid off of Viper's back and got her into, like, a crossface. But it laying in the tacks in this crossface. But then she used the barbed wire that she had and just put it in Viper's mouth
and just rank
and just ripped
crank that shit
out. That was so brutal.
Viper's
I think that spot happened, and I heard Viper scream bloody murder, and I looked away from the screen.
The best way I described this in my way was the selling was phenomenal, because the move looked devastating, but I felt her pain.
Oh yeah,
screamed out in pain.
It was
like
agonizing.
A minute straight when she's taking this, like, or felt like a minute of just taking this crossface where she finally tapped out, and I was like,
mercifully,
I was like, Jesus Christ! It's like that was. I remember walking out of that, and it was like, that was horrible. That was awesome. That end was great.
That's like one of those spots that gets the "you sick fuck" chant.
Exactly,
but like for real.
Exactly. And then she gets up, and there's like a nice little moment where, like, apparently the guy who comes out with her, I forgot his name, apologies, he was the winner of the first King of Insanity match, and he was the former champ, and he actually goes out, and they celebrate together. Kaylee Ray becomes the new women's champion for this promotion.
The new Insane Championship Wrestling women's champion.
I gotta give it to Piper, Viper. She... Because this match's story was that she was, like, trying to get this match with Kaylee Ray, which I find is hilarious, because I picked Jimmy Lyon versus Matt Tremont.
Which
was
had, like,
exact
the same story,
build.
Yeah.
And just like the last one, like, she put herself through fucking punishment this match with her. Like, that.
Dude, that face-first dirty bomb into the tacks. And the barbed wire. And, like, you can't fake shit like that. Like, barbed wire being, like, across your mouth like that.
And, like... Even if you argue, like, oh, she didn't get, like, the actual, like, thing, it's all like, bro, she was laying in a literal sea of tacks.
They were laying in a bed of thumbtacks! The ring was covered in tacks!
That trash can, I'll never forget. I was like, I literally could feel, I was like, I got baited so hard. I'm not even mad about it either.
It was nutty. Oh, man. This match was very good. For me, I'm giving it that mark out. This match was awesome. I really liked it a lot. These two absolutely put each other through hell.
Mm-hmm. Oh man, for a hardcore match, I'm torn because
another part that puts it over the mark out is that that guy came out and they celebrated, and him and Kaylee Ray celebrated, and then Kaylee Ray goes to Viper and gives Viper a big hug, and then so does the guy, gave Viper a big hug, and there was just that big show of respect at the end, which we mentioned already on this show seems to happen a lot.
Apparently,
where it's like a hug or a handshake. There's always that weird ending spot where they do, like, the raising each other's hand. There's a lot of respect on this show, I guess.
Evidently.
Yeah.
I'm going to get... I'm torn. I want to... You know what?
Which is funny because, like, they're hugging each other after you just shoved barbed wire in her mouth.
Exactly.
Like, fuck.
I'm going to give this match the mark out, And it honestly, what puts it over for me from a high Met is that that finish was really
that
good.
That finish was brutal, dude. That finish was one of the probably one of the most believable finishing spots I've ever seen.
Yeah.
Because for me, sometimes the finish hits and I'm like, that shouldn't have been the finish. And for me, it was like, at first I was like, my brain was like, she's going to lose. She's just going to tap out that quickly to a cross face. And then I like thought about it more. I was like, oh shit. She's laying in tacks. Mm-hmm. This cross face is happening with barbed wire across her face.
Weber came up with and the spot.
Like you said, the way Viper sold it was like she sold it like death. Mm-hmm. She sounded like she was in the most agonizing pain she's ever been in her life, and it was terrifying. Yeah. It was that scream is chilling. Like, sounds like straight out of a horror movie.
Exactly.
It's so good. It's so good. It makes you really feel it, and it makes you like really like yeah, you know what? That finish makes sense.
Exactly.
Because like I think about what if I was in that spot? I'd probably tap out too.
Probably.
All right. I'm going to cut here real quick. We are already an hour in, so let's make this double down quick.
Yep. My notes for FEV Ricky Starks is quick.
I forgot I made you watch that match.
Yep. All right. You did.
Yeah, let's make it quick because we are low on time. All right. So, Zach, we reviewed our matches. We reviewed the match we watched together. There's only one thing left to do, and you know what that is. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the double down.
The double down.
Where we revisit some matches from last week and view them from each other's perspectives. Zach, I believe I gave you Effie versus Ricky Starks, and you gave me KTB versus Blake Christian from GCW. Yep. I'm really excited about this match. Who started off last week in the double down?
I want to say me.
All right. I'll kick us off here with KTB versus Blake Christian. This match was insane.
Yeah.
Both of these guys are so good at what they do.
Yeah. They
both of these guys are such good wrestlers. It is nuts. And I think we've said this on the show. You put a good wrestler with a good wrestler, you're gonna get a good match. Like exactly. it's just that simple. There was some super sick moments in this match. Right in the beginning, there was like a rolling bulldog that Christian was doing, and then KTB catches him and just hits him with a blue thunderbomb, like right in the middle of it, without missing a beat.
Mm-hmm.
It was so smooth, so gorgeous. That spot was one of the immediate ones that stuck out to me.
That was so good.
Then Christian hit the three suicide dives, just back to back to back, where he goes under the bottom rope, through the middle rope, and then over the top rope.
Ooh.
That was crazy.
Yeah, dude.
Like it was like they called it a Lope Suicida, a Tope Suicida, and then it was the Tope called Hilo.
Yes.
Over the top. Just back to back to back. And that was like, what?
Yeah, dude. Sent him back to the bar, I think, with that one, right?
Yeah. That was that spot where you sent them back to the bar. Then there was a point where KTB threw Christian into the pole, but then he catches and sticks on the pole.
I love that.
And drops from the pole and does a Hurricane Rana onto KTB.
Fucking ridiculous. Spider-Man in this bitch.
Ridiculous. Yeah, I think Janela was on commentary and he was like, is this Peter Parker? Then there was a part where Christian hits a Death Valley driver on KTB and just lifts him up like it was no problem and just nails him with one. Like, completely out of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
They got the doors out, of course. I don't even remember there were so many crazy spots in this match, I don't even remember the door spot.
If I recall, was they fought for the door on the outside because he set up with, like, two chairs. And I think Blake hit, like, a double, like, knee, like, pushing him through the table.
Right, it was like outside. A meteora, almost.
Yes, a meteora. That's the word I was looking for.
A meteora through the table. Yeah. Or through the door, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That was insane. KTP hits a big lion salt.
Mm-hmm.
Then Christian goes back with a Spanish fly later. And then KTB, the one part that really made me wince in this match was when KTB just got Blake in like a military press over his head and just ran to the side and just hucked him into the steel pole from earlier.
Oh my god, I remember that.
He just hits the pole and drops to the ground. I was like, I was floored that they let them do that spot. That was insane. Because the way he just smacked the pole and just fell.
I know,
the,
dude. I was
just straight to the ground.
Like, that hurt. Like, that fucking hurt.
Woo, that one got me. That one got me. And then Blake Christian hits an insane springboard 450, somehow avoiding the air vents up top.
Somehow.
Which they used a couple of times earlier in the match as well. We talked about that last week where KDB threw Christian into the air vents. I don't know how he did a 450 because he didn't get much height at all.
He's insane.
He dove. The way he dove, it looked like he dove, instead of jumping up, it looked like he just dove straight and did a 450.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was like, how did you do that?
It's
like,
insane.
It was nuts. Anyway, that springboard 450 wins Christian the match. This match is, I'm not even going to sugar, this match is a mark out. This match was insane. This match was so good.
I love that match.
I love this match so much. These two really gave it their all, and it showed how much this match meant to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
You can tell it meant a lot. You could tell afterwards that it meant a lot for KTB to put this kid over, who was his first time at GCW, Blake Christian. And you could tell how much it meant to Blake Christian to get this big upset victory in GCW. Commentary put Blake Christian over like a god.
I know.
Everything sold Blake Christian, but also KTB never seemed weak. Like, they put Christian over a lot, but they never buried KTB, which was really, really helpful, which was also really, really good. Yeah. I like that. You don't need to bury – to make someone look strong, you don't need to bury somebody.
Mm-hmm.
There could just be two strong guys in that ring.
Exactly.
It just happened that one of them happened to be stronger that match. But it doesn't mean KTB's a bitch now. Like, KTB is still KTB. He's still going to kick your ass, and he's still heavy metal as shit.
Damn
so,
straight.
Like, this match was great in that sense, how they put both guys – both guys ended up getting over in the end, even though KTB lost, because they never buried KTB, you know?
Exactly.
It felt really good. This match is a mark out. I really like it a lot.
Mm.
Zach, let's hear what you thought about Effie versus Ricky Starks.
Oh, man. This match was very entertaining and very well-wrestled. Like, I walked into this match, and we've already talked about this last week. If you haven't watched it, though, when I left the Collective, I was in a similar mindset of Ryan in that I've seen Effie wrestle a bunch of comedy matches at the Collective, but I really think Effie can go, and I just want to see just a hint. I just want to see him really go in a match.
You want to see it. You want to taste it. You know it's there.
And he and Ricky put on a banger of a match here, and Effie showed me that he can really fucking wrestle.
Yeah, dude.
I was very, like, that. There's so many spots that you went through here that I was watching, and I was like, damn, this is smooth as hell. I do have to say two times in this match, Ricky did a spear. At both times, it both looked brutal and amazing.
Yeah, Ricky has a really good spear.
There was the disgustingly scary corner post spot that you told me about that I forgot about until when he ran to the corner
and
spear him and flew. And I was
just
like,
into it and just like, he, like, flew into it and just, like, ragdolled out of the ring. I was like, what?
Like,
Starks, what are you doing?
I was big-ass bruh.
He just, like, threw himself out of the ring. He was like, you know what? I'm not just going to hit this shoulder spot and, like, hug the post and, like, fall back in the ring. He was like, I'm throwing my whole body at this
thing.
I'm
out.
Yeah, he's like, yeet.
Exactly.
He just yeeted himself into the ring post.
Oh, my God. The other one, which came later in the match, was at the end when this is after, like, he still had his pants down during this, I'm pretty sure. And
this,
Effie pulled this
there
up.
Was a lot, there was a lot of, listen, if you don't like butts,
exactly.
There was a lot of this match wrestled where both wrestlers just had their asses out.
Yep. Like, he speared Effie while his pants were down, and they flew. Like, Effie went flying across the ring, and I was just
Effie
like,
hit, like,
amazing.
Effie hit, like, a Rough Rider spot with his pants down.
Yes,
and I was
yes,
like,
he
that
did.
Was, you just got, that's like straight up, just ass right all up in his face. It was
it's
so
magic.
Good.
It's magic or just some shit, because there's no way these two should have been able to wrestle as well as they did with their asses hanging out, their trunks barely hanging on, and yet somehow both of them were able to wrestle so well.
Yeah.
That
what
was
did
like,
you think about the purple nurple spot?
That purple nurple spot. The first time he did it when Effie powered up, I laughed because
so
I was like, all right. But then it was when they were in the corner. And Ricky did it. He powered up. The commentary sold it like, oh my god, he just did it. And then when he bit Ricky's nipple,
Effie likes it.
Just clamped onto Ricky's nipple and just bit into it. And I was just like, It's like this fucking match.
I think for me, this match was like a perfect. This match was a really great representation of Effie,
mm-hmm.
because it had the funny parts. It had the character. Like, this match was just really good for both guys because, like, it was a really Ricky
got a suave, smooth character.
Ricky did awesome character work. Ricky showed off how well he can wrestle. Ricky showed off how much he can sell. Effie showed off how much he can sell, showed off his character work, did a lot of really great wrestling. Like, this match was really good from both guys, and they mm-hmm. both, you can feel both of it. You can, like, feel both of these guys.
I actually wrote down, both these guys were exceptionally good at not only playing up the roles,
right?
But playing off each other. So, like, this match.
Yeah, they had insane chemistry, right?
This match was, they did. It really did. It elevated an already well-wrestled match to a fucking very great, it's a great match.
Yeah, they really I agree. They definitely played off each other really, really mm-hmm. well, and the chemistry was insane in that ring. It looked like they've been like best friends for years.
Exactly. I will say one last thing. Shout out to, I forgot which commentator it was, but it was the one that yelled Effie likes it, because that guy sold so many moves that kept me up to speed with their finishers. Like, I didn't know that Ricky's, like, the people's elbow thing, like you talked about before. I didn't know about Effie's, like, some of Effie's signature moves that he does, and I was like, oh, shit. I was like, thank you, commentary guy, because I actually understood it. And then when Effie won,
always a great part of wrestling.
Mm-hmm. And then when he won and everyone popped off, it was just a really great moment. I give this match a mark out.
I think I also gave it a mark out, because I really liked it a lot.
Great time with this match. This match was entertaining.
Yeah,
and
this match was awesome. It was just awesome. It was so much fun. It was just a blast to watch. Like, no matter who you are, like it had something for everything. It had the character work. It had the character work. It had a little bit of story. It had the good wrestling. It had the comedy spots. Like, it just picked from a little bit of everything, and it just worked its way into this, like, beautiful. Like, it wasn't even like a half hour long banger. It was just like a beautiful little match that just really encompassed both guys very, very well.
I love this. I like this match a lot.
Yeah, me too. That's why it gets the mark out. Go check it out if you can. It's super, super fun. I think you'll love it just as much as we do.
This episode went long.
It was a good week of wrestling for us. Yeah, we had some bangers this week. All of our matches free to watch on YouTube. Go check them out if you want to see and give your own opinion. Let us know, because we would love to know what you guys think about our matches, about the matches we watch as well. We'd love to know what you think. So go hit us up over on Twitter @CountOutPod on Twitter. Go follow us there. We just changed from the Hit the Books Network to the Countout Network. So please follow us along as we go through this transitional period over @CountOutPod on Twitter. Don't worry, all your favorite shows are still here. We just changed our name of our overhead network, so we are the Countout Network. We still have Hit the Books every Friday. Go check that out. Me and Ryan Nicey, where we book SmackDown every week. We just had our draft for Season 4 release, so we are on to a new season, baby. New season, new rosters, new SmackDown, mm-hmm. new Raw. So go. That would be a great time to jump in, because new storylines are coming.
It's probably going to be a great season. You guys book really well.
Thank you.
And I had a great time both times I've been on the show.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get into it because, like I said, new rosters. It means new rosters means new storylines, means new character work, means new things I can do. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get into Hit the Books Pod, now is the time to do it with our new season starting up. And every other Monday, go check out Brian Nicey's brand new show, G1 and Only, where he talks about wrestlers who have only been in the G1 Supercard one time and one time only, and he talks about their runs. It's a great, great series. His episode, the first episode, is all about Big Van Vader. Go check that out. It's awesome. I listened to it. It's great. I loved every minute of it. It's very
documentary.
Yeah, documentary style. I don't know why I couldn't say that word.
Oh, it happens.
But it's very documentary. It's very documentary style.
Go check
it out. And then also go check out our website, countoutpod.com, where we have everything to do with the Countout Wrestling Network. All the shows are there. We have a whole archive of Hit the Books. If you want to catch up before Season 4, you can read all of our card history there and go check that out in text form as well as audio form. And you can go check it out in video form over on YouTube, which is also Count Out Podcast on YouTube. So you can go watch the video versions there. Also on our website, we have little information about us if you want to get to know us better, me, Zach, and Ryan. You want to get to know the guys of the Count Out Network a little better, you can. There's little blurbs about us over there, so go check those out as well. But yeah, that brings us to the end of this episode. We got all the plugs out of the way. Zach, what about you? Do you have a plug yet?
Nope.
Do we get you yet? No?
Not yet.
We're going to get you someday. You're going to get
one
it. One
of
these days you're going to have something to plug, and I'm going to know about it. And this whole show is going to know about it. But all the plugs are now out of the way. So that brings us to the end of Independent Waters. Thank you very much for watching. Go leave us that 5-star review over on iTunes. Tell us how we're doing. Leave us that 5 stars. It really helps a growing podcast. It'll get us on people's feeds, and we can get out to more fans. And you guys could have more people to blurb about the show with. How great is that? So, yeah, go do that if you can. It takes 5 minutes. We would really appreciate it. We love that you're listening. We love that you're here with us, and we love that you're coming along on this journey with us. We appreciate you so, so much. And with that, always remember, there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Count Out Podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.